us were born in the Father's house. We had fellowship with Him. And when we came of age, we decided that we were going to leave the Father's house. We decided that we, on an individual level, would rather eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as opposed to enjoying the sweet fellowship and protection of the Father. We left the house. Many circumstances, we didn't realize that everybody who leaves the house is always kidnapped. No one leaves the house without being kidnapped. We left the house, and we were immediately snatched up by the worst kind of abductor. And now, a ransom is being demanded for our souls. We are stuck in the domain of darkness. Each one of us was without God and without hope in this world. We're separated from the Father, separated from His house, and there is a ransom demanded, a ransom that must be paid if we were able to come back into fellowship with the Father. So the question is, who has the payment? Who has the payment? What would suffice as payment, and who could afford it? As we established a couple of weeks ago, our sins rightly condemn us to hell. Our wandering from the Father's house produced this inevitable result. And what could be done? We made the choice. We were guilty. We left willingly, without force. We were captured. The ransom is being demanded, and not one of us can pay. One of the ways that I don't enjoy thinking about it, but one of the ways that I think helps bring it out is to consider what it would be like if a child of ours was kidnapped. What if the ransom was $1 billion? What could any of us do? Of course, we would gather all of our resources. We would gather all of our family's resources. We would gather all of our friends' resources. I wouldn't even begin to touch that number. Ransom has to be paid. And what we would do when we couldn't reach that number is we would look for alternative solutions. We would be forced to look outside of ourselves for the ransom to be paid. What I think it's important for us to recognize is that outside of Christ, the ransom that is demanded is far greater than a debt to a kidnapper that equals $1 billion. The debt that we are in because of sin far exceeds and outweighs any monetary amount. And so, not one of us can do anything about the ransom. We're going to have to look to an alternative source. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give His life a ransom for many. Jesus gave His life to be our ransom, to be our payment so that we could escape. The exchange here is the Son of God for the rebellious relatives. We are relatives in the sense that we were made in His image, according to His likeness. We were born into fellowship with Him, but each one of us left the family. We renounced our lineage, and we demanded our freedom from God. We demanded our inheritance, and we put on the image of the corrupt. And now, as we have wandered away, as we have been snatched up by the deceiver, our debt is now unrecoverable. And we were spiritually broken, and bankrupt, left with no options outside of Christ, forced to look at alternative options. And so God came to purchase us back. His only Son for the defiant, insubordinate relatives who decided that it would be a good idea to wander out of the house. I want us to think about that act of tremendous love of God towards each one of us on an individual level. Which one of us would give one of our children for some far-off, distant relative who just happens to hate your guts? Most of us look for ways to avoid the far-off, distant relatives to have dinner together, much less to have to give our only son for their lives. When what they were to receive is exactly what they had coming to them. But in giving, Jesus came to be that ransom. As was covered a couple of weeks ago, that necessitated Him humbling Himself as a man. We talked about the distance between glory and putting on human flesh. It necessitated Him living the perfect life, ultimately, also for our good, leaving us an example to follow in His steps, being subject now to temptation, being subject to all of the things that go with having real human flesh, and giving up all the privileges of glory. But in giving His life as a ransom for many, that was going to require more than just the life that Jesus lived, though it certainly was going to require His life, and is also going to require the death that Jesus died. Leviticus 17. Leviticus, the 17th chapter. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. The life is in the blood. Recall that Jesus gave His life as a ransom for many. He was going to have to shed His blood. The life is in the blood. Jesus gave his life, he's going to have to shed his blood. In this Leviticus passage, and in fact in the whole Old Testament, it makes the point that for there to be real atonement, for there to be real redemption, for there to be real purchasing back, for the ransom to be able to be paid, blood had to be shed. And here in Leviticus, it's using the example of an animal. But the price of an amoral, spiritless animal could not purchase man's freedom from sin, could not get him away from the kidnapper, and it could not bring him back into fellowship and to change his nature. It could not rescue us or bring us back into the Father's house, because the purchase price is not great enough. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Don't you love my cheery Christmas sermons? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Hebrews 10, 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The price of the blood of bulls and goats could not balance the scale. The price of our sins was too steep, and there is not enough animals that you could sacrifice to equal the weight of our sin on the scale. Cannot balance out. The redemption price is too great, and no matter how many thousands of animals that you slaughter, their blood will not equal a single sin that any one of us commit. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Because again, we're answering the question, what would it take to purchase man's freedom from sin? Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, with the life being in the blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus, the salvation giver, God in the flesh, Jesus, the true deliverer, the one redeemer, had to purchase or redeem us from slavery to sin. He had to pay our ransom so that we could be reconciled back into fellowship with him. And he did this willingly, because that's what the purchase price required. That is the demand of the ransom, the very blood of the Son of God for our sins. And so he did it. He lived the perfect life. He put on human flesh. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He was separated from and forsaken by the Father because of our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually like sheep. But you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. We strayed away from the house, and the price had to be paid. So he came, he lived, he was an example for us to follow in his steps. He committed no sin. There was no deceit found in his mouth. He was reviled. He didn't revile in return. He uttered no threats. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He took the full payment of the sins of all humanity in his body on the cross. Every sin that ever has been committed, every sin that ever will be committed, Jesus bore that on himself in his body on the cross, and he suffered the separation from the Father that must happen in accordance with sin. So that he might purchase us back. Because that's the requirement of our sin. That's the price that would cover the cost. The price that would suffice. So he shed his blood. John chapter 19. John the 19th chapter. Starting in verse 32. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and the other man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Jesus, already dead, had the spear plunged into him, and out comes the blood and the water. Jesus is the sacrifice for our sins. Already dead, pointing back to the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Spear gets plunged up in him, and out comes his blood. Life is in the blood. And so the price could be paid. Well, again, I've talked many times, if the blood of the sacrifice isn't offered by the priest, the blood isn't effective. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, but it's worth noting that Jesus' work was not done on the cross. Jesus had to be the high priest of his own blood in glory. But there is no blood in glory if the blood isn't shed here on the earth. And so, my challenge this afternoon to each and every one of us is, what is our response to our deliverer? What is our response to the one who paid our debt, who purchased our freedom from slavery, who gave us another chance, who redeemed us and paid our ransom from the great deceiver, the one who abducted us the moment we left the Father's house? What's our response to the deliverer? If we're lost, if we're outside of Jesus Christ, why stay in the clutches of the one who hates you? The ransom has already been paid. We don't have to wait for the ransom to be paid. Jesus, in his body on the tree, bore the sins of all mankind. God so loved the world, and those sins are already paid for. So why stay in the sins any longer than you have to? Since Jesus paid the price, we don't have to worry about any of our sins being too great, too awful, to keep us separated. And the price has already been paid. And so, what we have to do is to be willing to walk out of the abductor's house, to willingly accept the terms of our pardon, to accept his terms of reconciliation once again. It's all that's necessary. If we're in Christ and enjoying the benefits of being in Christ, are we thankful? Are we appreciative of the price that was paid? Do we understand what we truly have? That not deserving any one of us, we've still received. And we're grateful to have received the price that was paid. To be able to be given our freedom, freedom that not one of us could procure on our own. If we're really thankful, will we tell others about the great gift of salvation? About the family that we have been adopted into as sons, and about his Spirit who dwells inside of us? Are we grateful and willing to do what the Lord has for us to do today? To explore that, to understand the gift that we've been given, the gift of being set free from that jailhouse of sin, to live as faithful sons of the King. If we are in Christ and enjoying those benefits, are we thankful for the price that was paid? I personally am really grateful and thankful to the Deliverer, to the Redeemer. I praise the Lord for the price that sufficed. I ask you to praise the Lord with me. Jeremy?